KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in False Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset. Starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sitkanap to Castle Cape, small craft advisory tonight. Today, east winds 20 knots, seas 6 feet with rain. Tonight, southeast winds 30 knots, seas 8 feet with rain and snow. And Wednesday, south winds 20 knots, seas 7 feet. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, small craft advisory tonight. Today, variable winds 10 knots, becoming southeast 20 in the afternoon, seas 6 feet with rain and snow. Tonight, southeast winds 30 knots, seas 8 feet with rain and snow. And Wednesday, south winds 20 knots, seas 7 feet with rain and snow. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarashef, gale warning tonight. Today, southeast winds 25 knots, seas 7 feet with snow and rain. Tonight, southwest winds 35 knots, diminishing to 25 after midnight, seas 9 feet. And Wednesday, southwest winds 30 knots, seas 11 feet. Port Hyde and Nelson Lagoon, gale warning tonight. Today, variable winds 10 knots, becoming east 20 in the afternoon, seas 3 feet with snow. Tonight, southwest winds 35 knots, seas 5 feet with snow. And Wednesday, south winds 25 knots, seas 5 feet. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sarashef, gale warning tonight. Today, southeast winds 25 knots, seas 3 feet with snow. Tonight, south winds 35 knots, seas 6 feet with snow. And Wednesday, south winds 30 knots, seas 8 feet. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, partly cloudy in the morning, then snow and rain in the afternoon. Rain may be heavy at times in the afternoon. Snow accumulation can be up to 3 inches. Highs in the upper 20s to upper 30s. Southeast winds 10 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, snow in the evening, then isolated snow showers after midnight. Snow accumulation can be up to 1 inch. Lows in the mid-30s. South winds 15 miles per hour. And Wednesday, partly sunny. Isolated snow showers in the morning, then isolated snow and rain showers in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 20s to upper 30s. South winds 15 to 25 miles per hour. Your tide predictions for the Popoff Island. There was a high tide at 4:49 a.m. at 8 feet 3 inches. A low at 11:43 a.m., a minus tide of 1 inch. A high at 5:59 p.m. at 5 feet 7 inches. And a low tonight at 11:06 at 2 feet 5 inches. Your sun rose at 8:25 this morning, and your sun will set at 7:22, giving us 10 hours and 57 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Today on KUCB News, two top state lawmakers released an open letter last week calling Alaska's congressional delegation to action. And the new Philippine Honorary Consul for Alaska hopes she can be of service for immigrants. All of that and more coming up.
Local programming on KUCB is made possible by the Aleutian Housing Authority, providing affordable housing services in the Aleutian Pribilof Islands region and working hard to create employment, job training opportunities, and promote economic development. More information at ahaak.org.
You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. It's Tuesday, March 4th, 2025. I'm Sophia Stewart-Rossi with some local news. Two top state lawmakers released an open letter last week calling Alaska's all-Republican congressional delegation to action. The letter asks Senators Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan and House Representative Nick Begich III to, quote, bring a reasoned approach to the Trump administration's budget-slashing initiatives. A copy was also sent to Governor Mike Dunleavy. Republican Senate President Gary Stevens and Independent House Speaker Bryce Edgman co-authored the letter. Stevens was not available for comment, but Edgman said,
well, unfortunately, this could be a historic time for Alaska, and not in a good way.
In the letter, the pair highlight concerns about the potential loss of millions of dollars in collective wages for federal workers, threats against funding for Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program, and lost energy infrastructure grant money. They pulled for an end to the, quote, unchecked elimination of federal programs and untempered reduction in the federal workforce. Edgman commended Murkowski for her recent remarks critical of the Trump administration, drawing comparisons to the late Senator Ted Stevens.
You know, picking up where Ted Stevens left off, sort of approach to putting Alaska first. That instills in me a lot of pride as first and foremost an Alaskan resident, and secondly as a legislator.
The speaker was less enthused following Begich's address to a joint session of the state legislature, in which the congressman voiced support for some of Trump's cost-cutting measures. During that address, Begich described the government's current level of spending as unsustainable. Edgman contrasted Begich's stances to that of the late Alaska Congressman Don Young.
Because I think Don Young would have put Alaska first. He wouldn't have put an ideology or the administration in front of the many needs that scattered all across Alaska.
Stevens and Edgman wrote that the state legislature cannot fix the, quote, financial havoc coming from the federal level. They outlined budget shortfalls in Alaska alongside a higher cost of living.
But if it continues the way it is now, and then looking at the makeup of the United States Senate and how our two senators, I'm sure, are doing everything possible to counter what potentially could be, you know, $1 billion or more hit to Alaska, it's very daunting.
Stevens and Edgman called on the congressional delegation and Governor Dunleavy to work together to address what they describe as a looming crisis. The Alaska State Legislature is looking at a bill that would fund free breakfast and lunch for all public school students. Juno Student Nutrition Service employees says it would keep students fed and take the financial burden off districts across the state. But KTOO's Jamie Deep reports that lawmakers want more information about the cost.
$28.7 million. That's how much the State Department of Education and Early Development, or DEED, estimates free school meals for Alaska public school students will cost. It's the price tag on a bill from Fairbanks Democrat Representative Maxine Dibert. Despite the cost, supporters like the Food Research and Action Center's Clarissa Hayes told lawmakers about the benefits of providing meals for all students.
We know that hungry children do not have the concentration and energy they need to thrive at school. Studies have shown participation in school meals improves students' attendance, behavior, and academic achievement, and also reduces absenteeism and tardiness.
House Education Committee members grilled DEED's staff about the exact cost of carrying out the program and found there's a good deal of information missing. For starters, they said the cost estimate doesn't include the cost to carry out the program for schools that don't already participate in federal school meal programs. They told the committee about 9 districts aren't currently in the programs. Glen Allen Republican Representative Rebecca Schwanke says she wants to see what other programs are already in place that could help bring costs down for the state.
I would definitely like to have a follow-up consideration, really, of all the possible ways that we can really bolster the good things that are happening across the districts, especially when it comes to getting food to the children that really need it, and not creating a free program that's too broad, that puts the onus on the state to provide food that's not necessarily needed.
In a later interview, Juno Nutrition Service Supervisor Elizabeth Seitz said this would be a game changer for families that struggle financially but don't qualify for free and reduced lunch. Her district's offered universal free breakfast for close to 10 years, but it's currently not included in next year's proposed budget, so some students will have to start paying for meals. Seitz says the issue is twofold. Some families don't qualify for free and reduced lunch but struggle to pay for meals. Federal reimbursements also aren't enough to cover the full cost of meals for the Juneau School District. She says the program would feed a lot of these students.
If this bill were to go through, it would be a significant relief for districts and students across the state.
Seitz says nearly 80 families in the district had their free and reduced lunch applications denied so far this school year. LaVanne Truitt is an administrative assistant for the Juneau School District's nutrition program and fills in at the schools that need food service workers. She told KTOO some of these families just don't meet the requirements set by the federal government.
We unfortunately have to turn down a lot of people who apply. It's not up to us, but they don't hit the income limit, and it's so close.
The price of lunch means it also costs the district more than a dollar for every lunch it serves to students paying full price. Truitt says many students rack up negative balances with schools to get lunch. She says there's about $12,000 in school meal debt for the district this year, and it's costing the district money.
I know several schools have paid off debts out of donations, but at this point right now, the school district is feeding kids regardless of whether or not they can pay.
The committee held the bill so that lawmakers could get more information. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
With many new requirements from the Trump administration, it's an uncertain time for immigrants. As KNBA's Rhonda McBride tells us, the new Philippine Honorary Consul for Alaska hopes she can be of service.
Evelyn Abelio is known as Auntie Evelyn in the Filipino community in Anchorage, where she's made her home for more than 40 years. Earlier this month, she made a trip to San Francisco to the Philippine General Consulate to train for what is mostly a voluntary position. Now, she's ready to serve the whole state of Alaska.
It's kind of like a challenging time to be in this position, but I take things in stride and kind of like deal with issues in the moment.
Abelio has worked as a teacher, counselor, and as an investigator for the Alaska Human Rights Commission. She says it's experience that has been good preparation for this new role. She says there will be times she'll be called upon to help Filipinos in distress. But the job mostly involves a lot of clerical work, like helping people with travel documents such as lost passports. Beyond this, Abelio hopes to raise the profile of Filipinos in Alaska, who are the state's largest immigrant group. More than 35,000 live here and make up almost 5% of the state's population.
We are a diverse group, and so we have over 400 dialects in the Philippines that creates sometimes a barrier. Fortunately, Tagalog became the national language.
Abelio says it's hard for Filipinos who don't speak Tagalog to navigate immigration paperwork, especially the elders. She says it might seem odd, but Filipinos who speak different dialects often use broken English to communicate with each other. She says Filipinos originally came to Alaska to work in fisheries and mining, but today you'll find them in government services, home care businesses, and increasingly in education, where teachers from the Philippines have been recruited to ease staffing shortages at schools in rural Alaska. And there is another aspect of the job Abelio hopes to cultivate, trade and tourism between Alaska and the Philippines.
One of the products that was kind of exciting for me is cacao, because we have a lot of that in the Philippines.
Abelio says Filipino chocolate is one of many trade and investment opportunities she'd like to promote. Abelio will serve a 3-year term as honorary consul and replaces Rebecca Carrillo of Juneau. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
Let's take a look at KUCB's community calendar for the week. It's almost that time to start thinking about what to plant in your greenhouse or garden, and the University of Alaska Fairbanks is here to help you get started. Assistant Professor Marissa McCassin is hosting an introductory webinar on gardening in the Aleutians and the Pribilof Islands tomorrow over Zoom. She will also be coming to Unalaska to provide in-person classes ranging from canned food to gardening 101 in the week of April 7th. Tomorrow's virtual class starts at 5:30 and online registration is free. The registration link can be found on the community calendar. The Unalaska City School District is hosting a town hall meeting Thursday to discuss budget challenges and solutions. The meeting will take place at the public library. It starts at 5 o'clock Thursday evening. Head to the community calendar for more information. Museum of the Aleutians and KUCB are partnering up with the community to learn more about our video collections. Community members are invited to help us document names, places, and other details from our archival footage. We'll be playing clips and hosting a discussion Thursday afternoon from 6 to 8 o'clock at the Museum of the Aleutians. Also on Thursday, Fireside Writing Club will be taking place at the Unalaska Library. Share your poetry, spoken word, song lyrics, short fiction, or any creative work you've been crafting with a supportive community. This club is open to all levels of writers, regardless of experience. Fireside Writing Club will be meeting from 7 to 8:30 at night. Dive In Movie Night is happening at the Unalaska Aquatic Center this Friday evening from 6:30 to 8:30. Friends and family can float around and relax while watching a movie on the big screen. Children who have not passed their swim test must be accompanied by an adult. For more information on all these community events or for ones later this month, head to our community calendar at kucb.org. That's the news from Unalaska. I'm Sophia Stewart Rossi, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.
It's time now for your community window here on KSDP. Starting with job openings, the QT Tribe of Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, and an environmental assistant. The Shimigan Corporation of Sandpoint is hiring a housekeeper and a bartender. The Belkoski Tribe of King Cove is looking for a part-time IGAP assistant and a full-time Belkoski Environmental Program assistant. EATS is hiring a behavior health trainee and a community health representative. Both of those positions can be in Sandpoint or King Cove. They're also hiring a community health aide for Falls Pass and Nelson Lagoon, a clinical information clerk for King Cove, and a clinical information clerk slash janitor for Cold Bay. Community announcements. Once again, congratulations on wrapping up your basketball season to the Rookies, Eagles, and Lady Eagles, and best of luck representing the Aleutian Chain Conference to the King Cove T-Jacks, who are advancing to state. And today is March 4th, 2025. Happy birthday to Shirley Smith. And that's all for the community window. If you have anything you'd like for us to put on the air or web, you can contact us through email at cw@apradio.org. You can call us at 907-383-5737, or you can still fax us at 907-383-5271. Also, look for updates, meeting archives, and more at apradio.org. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Funding for KSDP is made possible in part by the King Cove Corporation, operating the Fleets, Inn Hotel, the Heart Lakes Apartments, and the Last Hook Off Tavern. The King Cove Corporation is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
I can't say. And my time was running wild, a million dead-end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me. I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Turn and face the strange.
Changes.
Don't wanna be a richer man.
Changes.
Turn and face the strange.
Changes.
It's gonna have to be a different man. Time may change me. Sides, but never leave the stream of warm and permanent sand. So the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Changes.
Turn and face the strange.
Changes.
Don't tell them to grow up and out of it.
Changes.
Turn and face the strange.
Changes.
Where's the shame you've left us up to her next to me?
Time may change me.
You can't twist time.
Strange fascination.
Walk out the door right now, I'll fall apart at the seams. Well, if you walk out the door right now, there goes all my dreams. Well, I've been a fool, I treated you unkind. I've been a big fool and I drove you out of your mind. I take you for granted. Sometimes my head's up in the clouds. Sometimes I get out of focus, lose myself in a crowd. do. I'm sorry if I hurt you, baby. You're my life and my home. I know I'll stay up all night when the Mardi Gras comes. I'm a hard-working man, but a man's got to have fun. Don't give up on me, little baby. Don't give up on me. Well, I'm down on my knees for you. Don't give up on me.
8:30 a.m. KSDP.
Shovel and dirt, and not even worry about getting hurt. Ain't that tough enough? Ain't that tough enough? Ain't that tough enough? Ain't that tough enough? Days a week, just so I can come home and kiss your cheek. I love you in the morning, and I love you at noon. I love you in the night, and take you to the moon. Ain't that tough enough? Ain't that tough enough? Dream like this must die.
You're listening to 830 AM KSDP in Sandpoint, Alaska.
Listen to our thoughts, the illusions of someday, cast in a golden light, no dress rehearsal, this is our